This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the communists went too far this time.
The Democrats knew that if they get Ramon into the top two, it's Karen Bass. There are many people in Los Angeles that probably don't even live there whose ballots are being cast for them, and they don't know it, and there's no way to verify it, Jesse. It's a rigged system.
Fraud is the issue here in Minnesota. Everybody's pissed off about it.
There is a system. That system is being defended. It's being defended by those that ultimately profit from it.
All right, before we get rolling on the show, we have to do something that we hate doing, but something we believe in on the show. We have to honor the fallen. We honor the fallen who die in training as well. That's very, very important. They are so often forgotten, dismissed, but it matters. A Sergeant Devin A. Seibel died in a training exercise in Iraq. He was 26 years old, a native of Texas, a combat medic specialist. And he gave his life for this country, and we honor him and his sacrifice, and we say a prayer for his family. All right. Now, let me move on to something I know you're angry about right now. I'm angry about it, too, and maybe you're feeling a bit deflated. I'm talking about the mayoral election in Los Angeles. And what I'm about to say, believe me, there actually is a kind of a happy ending to this. I believe there's a happy ending to this. So just stay with me. First of all, let's talk about a saying you've heard many times before, I have no doubt. I don't even know who originally came up with it, but it's a saying, and here it is. You can vote your way into communism, but you have to shoot your way out. Okay, it's a little extreme. You can vote your way into communism, but you have to shoot your way out. All right, now, setting aside the shooting part, why is that saying a thing? Why have you heard that before? And I know you have. You heard that before because over and over and over and over and over again throughout history, societies have learned the hard way that if you vote for communists and you leave them in power long enough, communists will put into place systems and people within those systems to ensure they can't lose elections. They'll institutionalize cheating in elections. And for a lot of people, decent people, you, that can be hard to understand. Why is it so consistent? Why is it every communist area, every communist country, why is it always the same? It always works the same way. They get power. If they're in power long enough, they put into place systems so they can steal elections. Why do they all do this? Well, this comes back to something that we all struggle with. They don't share your morality. If you sat down to play a game of Monopoly, when nobody was looking, would you go grab a handful of the $500 bills? Look, even if you would, I bet you'd feel bad about it. But I bet you wouldn't. Because that's stealing. That's cheating. That's not how you're supposed to play the game. But you have to understand, to a communist, that's crazy. That's an insane way to think. Of course you steal $500 bills. You steal everything you can possibly get your hands on because winning in power is all that matters. Communists do not share your morality. They don't look at it as cheating. That's crazy. But they don't. They look at it as, well, this is how we keep power. This is how we get power. This is how we punish our enemies. This is how we reward our friends. It's an extremely demonic, sick religion, but that is what they actually believe. Now, in Los Angeles, of course, on election night, Karen Bass looked like she came in first. But then there was Spencer Pratt. Remember that only the only the top two advance. So there's Spencer Pratt, and then there's this Rahman commie nut job, and Pratt looked like he was pretty solidly in second, and Robin, as you'll see here, looked like she knew she was coming in last year. What?
I've been a candidate for something as long as you can remember. And you've had to live through it with me. And you've been so patient through all of it. Thank you. Gunan Gavini, I hope you know that everything, every person in this room is fighting for in this campaign has been about building a city that's worthy of you and every child in this city.
I love you. Thank you so much. I have a great night. Thank you so much. The communists already lost. So
Spencer Pratt looking very confident, as he should have been with the numbers. Rahman looking, sounding quite defeated. And every single day since then, you've woken up and you found a new batch of votes have been located. Put it that way. Located. A new batch of votes have been located. Pretty much none of them have gone to Spencer Pratt. They've all gone to the socialist Rahman. And now she's overtaken him, and she's already projected to be the winner. These companies that are projecting this, by the way, are not fly-by-night liar companies. These companies are all very reputable. Companies like Decision Desk and others, they're saying it's over. Pratt lost. The two communists will advance. Now, I have so many friends in Southern California who worked very hard and were very hopeful about this race. And perhaps you, no matter where you are, were emotionally invested in this race. And you convinced yourself that because of the fire and LA is such a disaster, that this time was going to be different. But I'm warned weeks ago, it's going to get crushed. And a lot of people who were very hopeful and people emotionally invested were understandably mad. I know if I got mad, I'd be mad too. You don't know what you're talking about, but I did know what I was talking about. And here's what I know. When it comes to an area under communist control, if that area has been under communist control long enough, the communists have put into place systems, laws, regulations, people. They've put into place everything they need to ensure it doesn't matter how mad the people are. It doesn't matter how much money gets spent here or what this internet ad says. It doesn't matter at all that he can't possibly lose. California? I have friends in California, many of them, who tell me California hasn't had a fair election in their lifetime. Do you remember this? This is from 2010.
4 weeks after the November 2nd election, California finally has declared a winner in the attorney general race. Harris finished so close to her Republican opponent that it took a month to finish counting every vote. She won by less than one percentage point.
To locate the votes Doan needed to become attorney general. This is how things operated in Cambodia. It's how things operated in East Germany. It's how things operated in the Soviet Union. And it's how things operate in Baltimore, Chicago, New York City, whole states like California. This is how things operate in communist systems. Once you vote them in and leave them in long enough, you can't get them out. Now, that's the bad news. There is a light at the end of this tunnel, I believe, some good news. Trump is getting a lot of publicity over the last 24 hours because Trump sat down with the communist Kristen Welker and brought this whole thing up and then stormed out.
There's tremendous evidence. There's nothing but all this. The election was rigged. It was a dirty election. And it's happening again right now in California. Right now, it's look at what's happening in California. They're dropping fast because it's a rigged election. Let me tell you, it's 4 days, and they aren't even close to coming up with.
How they
you know why they're doing it? Because they're cheating on the election.
Do you have evidence to support?
All I have to do is look.
It's not.
And listen, and I listen to people, and let's see what happens.
But, sir, that's not evidence.
You think it's appropriate?
That's all they... That they have the votes.
Do you think it's appropriate that they have an election, and 5 days later, they're nowhere close to picking a winner?
Local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging...
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quick. That's how they...
They're crooked. Just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and meet the press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's...
Really?
Let's,
well, you play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Okay. So what's the good news? It's not Trump beating up a reporter, although we all love that. The good news is this. Communists have never been able to control their demonic urges. They just can't hold themselves back, and they push too far too fast. This Los Angeles mayor race, the brazen stealing of it out in the open. I think the communists went too far this time. And once this issue, once it lands on Normie's desk, on Norman Norma, once they start waking up to this fact, that's the beginning of us stepping in and making big changes. The good news is normies are waking up, and you should feel good about it. All right, we'll talk to Katie Zachariah about it in a moment. She told you this was all coming before we talked to Katie. Maybe when you think about Democrats and elections, maybe you can't sleep at night. That's your problem. I can. I've got dream powder from Beam. But for one, I love hot chocolate. That's what this is. It's a cup of hot chocolate. I microwave a little cup of milk, put a scoop of dream powder in there about 20, 30 minutes before bed, and I just drift off to sleep like a little baby. Dream powder has all kinds of natural things in it. You see, these are natural ingredients, reishi, melatonin, and things like that. You can't taste it, but it's delicious. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. I drink a cup of hot chocolate and sleep like a baby. And I wake up ready to go every single day. Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly and get you some today. We'll be back. There's something about telling people the truth. Sometimes they appreciate it. Oftentimes they do not appreciate it at all. Oftentimes when you tell people the truth, they get angry, they get defensive. Now, oftentimes, if they have any integrity at all, they will come back to you later and they'll thank you for being that person. But if you choose to be that person in life, they're going to get slapped around a little bit. Katie Zachariah, to her credit, came on this show talking about the L.A. mayor race, and she told you the truth.
No matter what visuals Spencer Pratt puts up, Karen Bass still seems to have a stronghold over the mayoral race. And so I hope for Spencer Pratt's sake that he starts to gain more momentum. I'm not seeing it in the polling, if I'm really honest with you. And as a kind of political strategist and analyst, I'm looking at this thinking it's going to be Karen Bass again.
Well, I got to pat her on the back for that one. Joining me now, Katie Zachariah, former Trump DHS spokesman. All right, Katie. It's awful. Everyone's angry right now. Everyone, we like to be hopeful. I want to be hopeful. Hope is a good thing. But people were kind of feeling a little bit kicked in the teeth by how all this balloting stuff is going. But the truth is, it was kind of always going to go this way, right?
I agree. One of the things I continue to say is hope does not win elections. And you can have the best strategy, you can have the best messaging, and you can honestly have people, the ground population, come out and support you in mass, including celebrities that have never probably voted for a Republican in their life, came out and voted for Spencer Pratt. But what you can't have is a system with sanctuary city and sanctuary state that let in a mass amount of illegal aliens. You can't have a state that passed a bill that bans you from checking an ID in order to vote. Our Senate bill, actually, that Gavin Newsom signed, bans any poller or any ballot, any person running the ballot box, from checking a voter ID. And you can't have universal mail-in ballots that you're able to cast your ballot on election day, and still they can count it 7 days up until 7 days after the election. You cannot have this and think that Republicans are ever going to win. And I said it so many times at to your point, I got a lot of flack from the right saying I was a wet blanket, that I was not hopeful, that I wasn't putting my support behind Spencer Pratt. But the truth is that you have to be realistic. And I've been a broken record. Until California passes voter ID, which Carl DeMaio for statewide races, Carl DeMaio has on our ballot for November. Until we pass that, which is an 80-20 issue, there will not be a Republican governor, and there will not be a Republican breakthrough of the Democrat supermajority, Jesse.
I need to ask you to be a wet blanket again, but again, I've watched these things. I'm happy to be the jaded old man because that's apparently what I am now. I've watched these kind of hope campaigns in everywhere, Baltimore, New York, Chicago. I've watched it happen over and over again. It always ends the same way. So in these blue hell holes that have been blue hell holes forever, is it just impossible?
It's going to be impossible until there is a system that is fair. And people kept saying Spencer Pratt is the Mamdani for Los Angeles because no one could believe a Mamdani could win, especially after 9/11. It's as breakthrough and unusual as the New York Knicks having a chance at winning the playoffs here. And we have the New York Knicks in the playoffs and we have Mamdani in office, but we are not going to get Spencer Pratt. And what's the big difference? The big difference is that Spencer Pratt is a conservative Republican. He's not an establishment Democrat. He's not a Democrat Socialist Party of America. So Ramon, who a lot of people underestimated, and they should have overestimated her performance, not because of the quality of her candidacy, not because she ran a great campaign, but because the Democrats knew that if they get Ramon into the top two, it's Karen Bass. And I said this from the outset, this state is run by Nancy Pelosi. This state is run by the Kamala Harris, the Gavin Newsom, the Joe Biden Democrat Party, the Barack Obama Democrat Party, that if they want a candidate installed, they will get that candidate installed. And this is Ramon. This is the piece that Ramon played, is that if she's in the top two, they'll give her a sweetheart deal, either to drop out and then it's just Karen Bass, so they can save money on campaigning, or they're just going to run her and make it a very somewhat fair race, and then Karen Bass will take the cake, because despite having been an abysmal failure for Los Angeles, she's still going to win because the system is rigged for Karen Bass to win and has been since the beginning.
Katie, can you help us understand, who are watching this from afar in horror, how it's so lopsided with all the new votes they're counting? I don't need an innocent explanation. I want what you think is a real explanation. What's going on here?
If you look at this, some of these latest drops, and I would bring people's attention to one of the most profound and shocking, well, shocking for an objective viewer, not shocking for someone who's watched this happen in California before, but one of the drops had 12.5% of the votes cast, were 100% of those were for Ramon. And that was the only office voted for, and nobody voted for the city attorney. This is 12.5% of one way, and that same group of people didn't vote for the city attorney. Now, that shows your ballot harvesting. There's no question about what's happening there. So where are they harvesting these ballots? Spencer Pratt alluded to, I think he it was a number about 43,000, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong. And then he correlated it to the number of people and homelessness on Skid Row. Look, if they are ballot harvesting and we don't know who's voting because they won't let us audit the election, they won't let us verify who's voting by voter ID, then there's no way to determine if you can say this is fraud, or if you can say this is, you know, legal fraud, which is essentially that they are able to harvest all these ballots and cast them legally within all of the framework required, but not actually following true rules that allow one person, one vote, and legal residents, legal citizens of this country, and within the allotted time frame. We have no way of verifying all of that. And the signature verification process and ballot curing process, which they call, is kind of a joke, because signature verification does not actually, my signature is maybe one straight line. How are they going to verify that that's me? And Jesse, I just want to add this quick story. When I went to vote on election day in person, they said that I had moved and I wasn't a valid voter. So for I voted in 2016, 2018, 2020, 22, 24, 26. I was able to vote, but they had to call the Secretary of State's assistant to verify me. And yet there are many people in Los Angeles that probably don't even live there whose ballots are being cast for them and they don't know it. And there's no way to verify it, Jesse. It's a rigged system. I have to be honest about that.
Okay, Katie, I want to shift gears just because I feel like I need a shower after all this talk. May need an extra one now, so we're about to talk about Dome. Kamala Harris, I'm sorry. We just had a poll come out, and I've seen every poll basically reflects the same thing, that she is still on top, which is unsurprising, but we're going to pause on that for a moment. She's on top consistently in Democrat polls. Is there somebody who's going to overtake Dome, or is it going to be her again?
Well, for Kamala Harris, I think the Democrat Party has not learned its lesson. President Trump, as we know, Kamala had to spend, or the DNC had to spend over $1 billion. And I think that they thought they got a short change, what was the 107-day run, and she lost. But President Trump beat her decisively, 7 swing states, the House and the Senate. And if they can't put up a better candidate than Kamala, I think they're hoping that they get some kind of weak sauce Republican that can't take her on like President Trump did. But that won't be the case. The Republican contenders for president are all very strong. If you look at J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, any of the people in that top tier list are going to be able to beat Kamala Harris and her failed policies, both as vice president, attorney general of California, and DA of California in California. So if that's the best they have, it's also an indictment, Jesse, on Gavin Newsom, right? Because Gavin Newsom was looking like the darling child that the DNC was going to run. Even Barack Obama came out and supported him. He peddled what was asked of him, which is the redistricting in California, and got rid of 5 seats, or attempted to get rid of 5 seats, not so successfully. And maybe we'll see that in November. But Jennifer Newsom really tanked Gavin Newsom outside of his failed policies. His wife did a nice job at kind of sinking him as well. Hunter Biden might be the token DNC vice presidential candidate. Who knows what they're going to put up and who they're going to put up, Jesse?
Hunter Biden. What a world we live in. Katie, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have to be honest with you. I'm a patriot. I love my country. I want what's best for my country. But in the selfish interest of my show, I kind of want Hunter Biden to be vice president. I'm kidding. All right. As a patriot, though, I do have Pure Talk. You know, I do have the patriotic mobile service. Those other big wireless companies, they hate your country. How much celebrating America for our 250th anniversary have you seen from those other wireless companies? You know they all hire foreigners, right? Not Pure Talk, though. When you get a hold of Pure Talk, you get to speak to a pleasant, lovely American who speaks English. Pure Talk's CEO fought for this country in Vietnam. Pure Talk, when they give back to veterans, and they do this while delivering you amazing plans for amazing, amazing discounts. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, I guess as long as we're talking about corruption, we might as well talk about Minnesota. You see, this is not a It's not a California story. California is a pleasant punching bag for all of us because it's such a big, important state. It's been so crazy and commie for a long time. And honestly, Minnesota should be thankful for California because Minnesota gets lost in this talk a lot. The truth is, any state that is run by Democrats for long enough is going to become corrupt beyond belief. Joining me now, a guy who talks about this a lot and knows a lot about it, is the columnist from Town Hall, Dustin Greggy. Dustin, okay, given everything that's going on in California, congratulations to you. Your state seems to be a little bit lost in the shuffle right now. Good job.
Well, no, it's incredible, especially watching those Spencer Pratt returns with the mail-in ballots, that we were somehow able to capture the national spotlight after watching that theft happen overnight. So, yeah, no, glad to be back in the news for all the wrong reasons.
All right, let's talk about, quote, welfare fraud. It was the House Oversight Committee just talked about Tim Walz, Keith Ellison, as, and I want to quote, turning a blind eye to massive welfare fraud in Minnesota. That seems awfully charitable to me. What happened in Minnesota?
Yeah, I was just about to use those exact words. It's charitable because at the end of the day, we've known about this fraud for a while. I'd say going back as late as early as 2012. The report, I believe, here says 2020, but that's just simply acknowledging fraud exists and that we have a problem. But Tim Walz went an extra step further. His administration actually went and retaliated against the whistleblowers for coming out and saying there was fraud. And not only that, Faye Bernstein, one of the people who came out here publicly as a whistleblower, she's a Democrat. She voted for these politicians. She came out and said, hey, me as a government employee, I have a problem here, and I think there's fraud occurring. Then they painted her as a racist, a Democrat. Not a Republican, not a mega Republican, but they are painting Democrats in this administration for being racist for simply acknowledging fraud exists. So they went an extra step further beyond just simply turning a blind eye. They went directly head on and went after the actual whistleblowers.
Dustin, can you elaborate in some detail? What exactly does welfare fraud mean when it comes to Minnesota? What is the scheme? What do we know happened? What do we think happened here?
Yeah, so right now, we're mostly just talking for just a perspective. We'll compare California in here as well. California has about 8 to 9 high-risk Medicaid fraud programs. Minnesota has 14. So in the scope of just these 14 programs, which it's almost double of what we're looking at California, $18 billion in those programs alone. The former first assistant U.S. attorney here in Minnesota, who's, by the way, a Democrat, votes Democrat, said over half of the money allocated to these 14 programs specifically, which is like autism services and these daycare services. Actually, daycare is not even included in that. But these 14 programs, he said well over half is probably fraudulent. So that's how we get that $9 billion figure that we've been looking at here. And a lot of that is just simply programs that uses Medicaid, Medicare funding and allocates it to these programs that are state created run. So autism services is a big one everyone hears about. I actually highlighted a legitimate autism service provider here in Minnesota with Nick Sorter. We went to the program and how their funding was paused, an organization that helps hundreds of legitimate, high on that spectrum, autism kids who can't function in actual school. Their programs are getting shut down because of these Somali fraudsters that are taking and pillaging our resources and going out there and taking them and going to fund terrorism in Somalia. That's basically what we're talking about here. But there's other programs that you really don't think should really fall under these actual programs. We're talking about simply people who are homeless and want to find assistance finding a home. These are also programs included in this. So it's all these state programs that find ways to create new programs that can associate themselves with Medicaid, Medicare funding. And then they take that funding, create these corrupt programs that have absolutely no oversight. And if you do have oversight, the government's actually going to come after you and try to demote you, fire you, or label you a racist in the process for simply noticing that people aren't actually following the rules with these weak oversight programs.
Dustin, I'm glad you brought up oversight because that's exactly where I was going next. It's not exactly surprising. Honestly, it's to be expected that when you bring some hostile foreign barbarian into your country, he's going to conduct himself like a barbarian. That's all he ever knows. But you're supposed to have some system of government in place, federal, state, and local, that prevents them from doing such things. What kind of system do you have there?
There is no program. There's nothing like that. In fact, when we've talked about this, Jesse, quite a bit in extent with the Somali population in particular, but 8 in 10 of them are on some type of welfare, some way or form. there's absolutely no programs out there that are at least effective. I've heard of some programs, but they're not effective in our school systems right now. They're not actually educating these kids to learn English and integrate into our society. And when they do, we have a whole nother problem. We're bringing in more on top of that, that are adults that are going to continue to refuse to assimilate. So even if we do get some of these kids who are legitimately assimilating and learning culture and they're taking off hijabs and they're going out and they're being productive members of society and, you know, possibly not going to be a victim of what their parents brought them up into and not be absolutely dependent on the welfare state. But then we bring in a whole new batch and then the process restarts again and again and again. So there's absolutely no planning whatsoever to actually do this. And yeah, when Republicans even bring up some of this stuff with the oversight, I'll bring up an example where a Republican legislator of mine actually brought forth mandatory site visits. Must happen, and they must happen twice a year. And in addition, you don't warn the fraudsters that there's going to be a visit in the next 3 months so they can prepare the paperwork and actually pretend that they're doing their jobs. They should be random. They should happen multiple times a year, especially when they're being dealt out millions of dollars. But I've had instances where I've had a tipster send me everything, the documentation, this place is committing fraud, and then they report it to DHS. And I almost always tell those tipsters that was the wrong move, because what happens now, under the current programs with Minnesota DHS, they actually go out and they warn the fraudsters ahead of time, you're going to have a site visit in the next 3 months. So what are the fraudsters going to do, Jesse? They're going to prepare their paperwork and they're going to make sure everything's up to code. They're actually going to go grocery shopping for the first time in 2 years and bring the food over. And it's going to look great. I'm sure it will. They have $1 million laying around from collecting fraud. They have no problem turning things around over the course of a week. And then, yeah, we get into this system where, yeah, well, we checked them out. They were fine. And Nick Shirley, a lot of the people in this video, these organizations, they had received site visits before and passed them all because they were warned ahead of time to prepare. But of course, what's the time where we caught them when they weren't prepared? Because Nick Shirley showed up with a camera unannounced, and they didn't get any warning in advance. And sure enough, we caught some fraudsters. And just here in the last month, we had a dozen raids happen at different organizations in the Twin Cities Metro. And multiple organizations that were in the Nick Shirley video were a part of those raids and are being charged right now.
Jeez. All right, let's shift gears here, because I have to ask about the governor's race. Tim Walz isn't running. Who's going to be the Democrat nominee, and how are they handling this? Because this is one of those things where there's been some mud that has landed on Tim Walz over all this. The Minnesota Democrat Party doesn't look good. How are they dealing with this?
Yeah, so they're in panic mode right now when it comes to fraud. They're trying everything in their power to avoid fraud. They're trying to make this election about guns and the Annunciation shooting. They're trying to make it about Operation Metro Surge and the $1 billion lost to commerce and hospitality. But, you know, don't blame the Antifa rioters that were breaking down the windows of the hotels on why the hospitality industry is failing in Minneapolis. Don't blame them. We got to blame Trump because he's a Nazi. But the nominee who will be the nominee for the Democrat Party is Amy Klobuchar, for a current U.S. senator here in Minnesota. Now, the reason they picked her is because she's in the U.S. Senate. She's not necessarily tied very directly to what's happening here in the state versus a Peggy Flanagan, who's running for U.S. Senate. She's the lieutenant governor. She's much, much closer in connection with the fraud. So when we look at some of this polling with like a Michelle Tafoya that I got a sign back here for, when they're polled against Peggy and it's specifically tied to the issue of fraud, that race is tied right now in Minnesota. Michelle Tafoya and Peggy Flanagan, when we put a microscope on fraud, are tied in the state of Minnesota. We haven't won a Republican election here in over 20 years. We're the longest running one without voting for a Republican president. So this is amazing. This is great news for Republicans. And yeah, why they're running away from fraud when it comes to, sorry, my phone there, when it comes to this, because even when, so this is internal polling. It's not quite out there publicly. It's been done by some PACs that have informed me about it. But there is also polling in the governor's race even when Amy Klobuchar, you know, she's in the U.S. Senate. She's a little bit more detached from the fraud happening at the state level. But
There's earmarks of her going and funding some of these fraudulent programs with Ilhan Omar, whether she's complicit in it directly by being intentional or not, we don't quite know, but she's tied to a lot of these earmark funding mechanisms that are going to the fraud. And when you're even pulled in specifically to a candidate named Lisa Damith and Ryan Wilson, her running mate, who ran for auditor last time, only lost by a percentage point statewide in 2022 when he ran for auditor. They are also within 1 point of tying Amy Klobuchar in the governor's race. So fraud is the massive issue, because when you detach fraud, and fraud's not an issue here in the state of Minnesota, they're all behind by 5 to 6 points. So fraud is the issue here in Minnesota. Everybody's pissed off about it, and rightfully so. As we've talked about throughout this, there's no oversight. People are complicit in it, to the point even Keith Ellison, who, by the way, he's 8 points underwater in internal polling right now. He is absolutely cooked right now if the current state of things continue, and for good reason. He met with these fraudsters directly and said he's going to fight for them before they were actually caught and convicted. So, yeah, everybody's tied to it in some way or form. Now, the more detached ones is a little harder, but there's still those earmarks to point to and different things like that. But at the end of the day, Minnesota Republicans were in a great position, one of the more prominent positions we've ever been in, to elect Republican leadership for the first time.
Dustin, thank you, my brother, as always. All right. We're going to talk to Auburn McIntyre. He's one of my favorites in just a moment. Let me talk to you about high interest debt. Do you have it? What are you paying 20% on? 25? 30? Don't worry. American Financing has heard it all. Do you own a home? American Financing, they're going to help you get out of those deep waters. I know that's what it feels like. It feels like you're drowning when you're stroking a check whenever you can. You're barely covering the interest payments, and it just feels like you're never getting out. That's not true. Don't sit and pay 20, 30% the rest of your life. American Financing will chart you a path forward. Let them help you. The only bad news is they can't do anything for you unless you get a hold of them. Go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse and let's get you out of it. You need help. Help is on the way. AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. We'll be back. Well, we're not getting the SAVE Act. I understand that was a nice rallying cry for a lot of people for about 15 minutes. But the truth is, it's not going to happen. It just died again. And it wasn't just Democrats, of course. It was four subversive Republicans who stepped up and put their foot in the door while we were getting ready to slam it on a significant piece of communism in this country. And that's the way it's gone for a while. The people are frustrated. Joining me now, the great Auburn McIntyre of the Auburn McIntyre Show. Auburn, why did we have 80-20 issues we can't get Congress to move on? How's that possible in a, what do they call it again? Representative?
Well, of course, because we don't have one, Jesse, which I'm sure you already know. It's a joke, and we all understand it at this point. There is a system. That system is being defended. It's being defended by those that ultimately profit from it. Many of these people are called Democrats, but a good number of them are called Republicans. That doesn't mean that there isn't a difference between Republicans and Democrats. There are, I think, more people on the right in the Republican Party who genuinely care about the future of this country and want to make a difference. However, that is not the entire party, or perhaps not even the majority of it. And so over and over again, even though in any understanding of a normal political system, you would see the Republicans, who clearly benefit from the SAVE Act politically, support that, even just on their own self-interest. But of course, the self-interest isn't in having two competing parties. The self-interest is in having one unified system. And to the extent that any Republican tries to change that, they are the enemy of the system.
Okay, Auburn, the bad news is obviously we still have some Mitch McConnell types. The good news is John Cornyn's going away. He was defeated. Bill Cassidy was defeated. Mitch McConnell's retiring. Tom Tillis is retiring. Are we improving? Are we getting better? I know it's not fast and easy, but are we getting better?
Well, when I see people like Eric Schmidt or Brandon Gill in Texas, I do see improvements. I do see senators and congressmen who have a vision for what needs to come next, that we need to win, that we need to secure political power and use it. And we need to do so directly in the interest of the American people and not some international empire or some continued financial situation. So I do think we are seeing some improvement. The question is, can that improvement come fast enough? Of course, every Democratic win, every win for the system, makes it harder and harder for us to dig ourselves out of this hole, because the problem is, of course, immigration. As long as our system operates, at least theoretically, as a democracy, then that means that every time we bring in new people, and those people have children here due to birthright citizenship, we have people who will fundamentally change the way America works through voting. And so the Democrats have to win just a few times. We have to win every time. So I am encouraged by a new crop of politicians who are rising in the GOP. Unfortunately, I do worry that perhaps that crop has come a little too late to stave off what is coming.
Speaking of Eric Schmidt, he's hot on an issue that I don't know that I've ever seen a United States senator talk about: legal immigration. Obviously, it's easy for the GOP to stand up and rally against Trendy Aragua coming to your neighborhood to stab your son in high school. No one's a big fan of that. It takes actual courage to stand up against very powerful money, very, very powerful money in this country, and say, no, we have way too many legal immigrants here, and we need to stop bringing them. It's a huge issue.
It's, I think, the most important issue. It's the issue that drives everything else. If voting is what changes what we do in the United States or who represents us, then the people who select it are the only thing that matters. And if you're bringing in new people to change how that's done and how they're going to vote and what our principles will be, then that's the ballgame. Every other issue is downstream from that selection process. That said, it is a huge deal that we now see the GOP going after legal immigration as well. We're even seeing this from the Trump administration, which is stepping up its game on H-1Bs, trying to reduce the number of legal migrants that come in, the number of legal workers that come in, and the number of legal refugees come in, and decide where they come from and have them be places that are far more in tune with American values. These are all positive steps, and I think this is something that always needed to go hand in hand with the hard border enforcement. The mass deportations are good and they're important, but of course it is this soft power that also drives self-deportations. People who cannot stay here, who cannot get citizenship, who cannot plug in and get benefits and jobs, they will not stay in the United States. And so we always needed this two-pronged approach, one of the soft power, the regulation, the procedure, and then one of the physical removal in the hard boundary of the border. That's what we all wanted to see. The Trump administration has gone a little soft, I think, on the actual hard deportations, but they are trying to make up with it with some of the soft power stuff. I'd like to see both, but it is encouraging to see improvements on that front.
Trump was asked about Iran, you know, this whole no new wars thing. Trump was asked about it in an interview, and here's how that went.
What changed? Because you insisted no new wars.
First of all, I didn't guarantee no war. Why would I have built the strongest military in the world? I built our military. I inherited a terrible military. We had no equipment. We had nothing. I built a tremendous military. Biden gave a lot of it away, but it's still a relatively small portion compared to what I built.
But you said it over and over again.
Why would I build a military? Now, I didn't want to use this, but I'm doing you and everybody else a big favor.
All right, obviously Trump is not a moron. He can read poll numbers. He knows this whole Iran business is no longer popular, if it ever was. He needs out, but can he get out?
Well, that's the biggest problem, right? It does seem very clear that for at least the last few months, Trump has understood the gravity of entering into this war. It was not what was sold to him. It's not the easy in and out. It's not the decapitation strike and the replacement like it was in Venezuela. And more or less, Israel has Trump where he wants him. They have him stuck in the Middle East where they can constantly escalate the situation and force the United States over and over again back into this conflict. Trump knows he needs to get out. It's been very, very clear. If he wanted to be there, he would have easily reignited these hostilities, but he has pushed at every moment to basically ignore violations of the ceasefire by both Israel and Iran as long as he can to try to get this peace deal done. That said, is he actually going to be able to extract himself? Because every single time he seems to try to get these people to the negotiating table, Israel fires off more rockets in Lebanon, and then Iran fires off more rockets towards Israel. Neither side seems interested in actually stopping their continued hostilities towards each other. So the United States has a very difficult moment here. Does it try to side with the ally it went into the war with and end it in what has to be a very costly, both politically, troops, actual financial cost-wise, maneuver of a full hard invasion into Iran? Or does he simply leave and leave Israel and Iran to figure this out on their own? It's not an enviable situation. All options will cost Donald Trump and the United States significantly, which is why many of us begged to not enter into the situation. But we have nonetheless, and so Trump has to make the hardest of calls in the scenario, and I don't envy him.
Yeah, that freaking sucks. All right, Aaron, thank you, brother. Come back soon.
Thanks for having me.
You need to control your potty mouth. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And Grandma Vodka, she may have lost her fastball. You know, Father Time comes for all of us, but at least I'll say this, she's still holding back F-bombs like a champ. Here she was.
Hi, Congressman Pelosi. Last time I asked you about January 6th, why you turned the National Guard away on January 6th, you told me to shut up and that I was repeating Republican talk.
To shut up again because you're speaking lies. And not
the right here, right here on the record saying,
no,
I'll admit it.
No, I did not admit it. The president never sent what was his free to send the National Guard. Don't waste your time or mine on you.
Why was your daughter filming you on January 6th?
Just to get away.
These are just questions the American people want answers to.
You know what? I'm going to think you're a real journalist. You work for Mike Pillowman?
Actually, I do. And we're very proud.
Don't consider that journalism. Mike Pillowman. That's not journalism. I don't have any reason to talk to you.
You'd love to give you a free...
We should record this. I want people to know that you are not a real journalist. You mark for Mike Pillowman, and all you do is spout untruths. Get away from me.
You can insult me all you want, but...
Get away from me.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Congresswoman. We'll give you a night pillow so you can have a nice sleep tonight, okay? Take care.
I'll see you tomorrow.
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.